Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters.
Okay.
Pour yourself a cup of tea.
Okay. That intro's been giving me trouble. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Randy Fine, your show host. I'm sorry about that glitch in the beginning. I don't know. It's supposed to automatically start, and I've got to do something to make it start, and lately it's been acting up. But anyway, good morning, good morning. I know we are all getting ready for the holidays, which are upon us at the end of this week. Very exciting time. Everything's beautiful. I live in South Florida, so the trees are, the palm trees have lights on them, and it's so pretty. I love it. I grew up north, so I really enjoy the difference. Today, we have with us Dr. Kathy Groover, Kathy Groover, PhD, who is a motivational health speaker, an award-winning author, and she hosts the national TV show based on her first book, The Alternative Medicine Cabinet, which happens to be a Beverly Hills Book Award winner. Kathy has earned her PhD in natural health and has authored 5 books, including Body-Mind Therapies for Body Worker, Conquer Your Stress with Body-Mind Techniques, and Journey of Healing, which is the book I have in my hand and we're actually going to talk about today. So let me bring her on, and she can tell you a little bit more about herself, and we'll get started. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. So how did you get into alternative medicine and the whole mind-body connection? What prompted you initially?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I just followed the breadcrumbs. I never set out on this path knowingly. I started out as a massage therapist, and even that was sort of accidental. I apprenticed with a woman in college. I was a theater major. I had no inclination ever to go into any sort of health profession, but it was something I was really good at. And when I fell into that, I thought, hey, you know, this is a great thing to do while I'm doing all those great acting roles in Hollywood. So I was on this parallel path of acting and healing, and at some point the healing won out, and I started doing massage full time. I started studying more and more. When I landed here in Santa Barbara, California, our palm trees are also all decorated, so that's beautiful too. When I landed here, I realized, you know, I really want to start doing massage full time. It's a great profession. I was good at it. I loved helping people. And as that grew and expanded, I saw more and more clients who were really looking to me as a health professional, not just a massage therapist. So I started studying more and more, and a lot of the classes and experiences that stood out to me were about stress and mind-body medicine. And so that really became my focus. And I still do massage every single day. I do hypnotherapy. But a lot of what I talk about when I do my lectures and my books, are a lot of them talk about stress and that mind-body connection. It's incredibly powerful, and I think it's very overlooked still in mainstream medicine. We're getting there. They're talking about mindfulness and meditation and positive thoughts and things like that, but they're a little behind the curve. So they're catching up, but they're not quite there yet. So that's what I do. I spread the word about all these things I've discovered and hopefully help people to make better choices.
That's great, and I agree with you. Yes, stress is so has such a huge part in our mental health, our physical health, and it is so important. This is a really important topic. You have an interesting catchphrase. Well, it's not one that we haven't heard, but your catchphrase is "Go for it." Why is that your catchphrase?
I think we place such limits on ourselves, and of course, that's not everybody. But even I, and since my phrases go for it, even I put limits on myself sometimes where I realize I need to stretch past that. I encourage people to try something different, to try something new, to take a risk. I do flying trapeze for fun and stress relief. A lot of people aren't going to climb a 30-foot ladder and jump off that platform to relieve their stress, but try something. People make these bucket lists, and then they throw them in a drawer, and they don't think about them until they're 90 and realize they never did get to go see the Grand Canyon. You know, I want people to live a life fully, and sometimes that's, to quote my husband, traveling around the world, and sometimes it's traveling around the corner in your town to try a new restaurant. I think there's such a huge, vast world of experiences out there, and from the health perspective, I think it's important to explore options, and a lot of people think I'm anti-Western medicine because I'm pro-alternative medicine. That couldn't be further from the truth, but there are options. You can get a second opinion. You can try acupuncture along with your cancer treatment. You can try massage for your headaches. You can try herbs for your anxiety. You know, there are other options, and so to me, that's really what Go For It is about exploring those options and seeing what else there is out there for you.
Right. And you say there's a certain comfort in, quote, unquote, the knowns. So it's really about stepping out of the knowns or your comfort zone and going for it, right, and living life to the fullest and that, right?
Absolutely, because there's so much out there to experience. And I just had the privilege of being in South Africa. I was keynoting a big talk there, and I spent a couple days on my own in Cape Town. And I walked into a very traditional African restaurant, and they brought me over the very American-looking menu. And I said, I want to eat what the locals are going to eat. And the guy kind of perked up a bit, and he brought me the specials board, you know, big chalkboard with all the stuff written on it. And the first thing at the top of the list was warthog carpaccio.
Oh,
and I said, I want that. I want that. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he says, you want that? And I said, when am I ever going to get warthog carpaccio again? I said, you know what? If I don't like it, excuse me, I don't have to eat it. I said, but why would I not try that? So the entire time I was in South Africa, I had all these very traditional foods, and I had all this phenomenal game, things that you can't even get in the States. You seen warthog on a menu anywhere? No. You know, it was like, and there were people probably down the street at KFC or, you know, the Hard Rock Cafe or whatever, because that's what they know and that's what makes them comfortable. To me, you got to get outside of that. You know, I had stuffed pigeon when I was in Egypt. I had all these amazing foods, and maybe it's not food for you. Maybe it's an experience or a location, or, you know, I rode a camel, because why would I not ride the camel? You know, to me, it's just about having these broad experiences, and to me, that makes us a fuller person. It allows us to expand ourselves and just have a different experience.
Well, you really are adventurous and curious and brave and all the above. You know, I believe in breaking out of your bubble and experiencing life, but I'm not nearly as brave as you are. Flying on a trapeze would give me a heart attack because I'm afraid of heights. And just being up there, my heart would palpitate right out of my chest.
But it wouldn't. But it wouldn't, though. And that's what I've actually taken friends with me who are terrified of heights. And this is the perfect small way to do it, because you're belayed in, so someone's got you. Though you climb a 30-foot ladder, the net is about 7 feet off the ground, and you figure when you're hanging more than 6 feet. So you're really only dropping 4 or 5 feet into the net, and you're not falling into the net. They're lowering you into the net. So there are a lot of people that pick that to get over that fear of heights. And I took a friend of mine. Yeah, because it's a safe, you know, it's not jumping out of an airplane. That's going to, you know, that could be very bad. That gets screwed up. That's a problem. But this is a safer step towards that. And I had a friend who I took who was terrified. He would think about it and start to tear up. And by the end of the day, he was not only doing the flips off the bar, he got down, he gave me a big hug, and he said, Kathy, I now feel like I can do anything because I conquered this.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the next time trapeze comes to town, I think I've actually seen it here once came to town. Yeah, they kind of move around and go from town to town. I want to talk a little bit about massage because, as I mentioned before we got on air, I happen to be the owner of a Massage Envy in South Florida, which is a really high-end clinic, and we hire great therapists. We do really, really well there. But massage used to be seen as a luxury, and now it's really known for its therapeutic health effects. So can you talk a little bit about that as a massage therapist? What kind of benefits?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're endless. I mean, massage has been around for so long, and you're right. It used to be either considered one of two things. Either was this luxury that only the rich got when they were at their spa vacation, or it was a sexual thing. And unfortunately, that is still perpetuated, and that continues on to this day, which is a huge problem in most towns. There are still a lot of sex massage parlors, and they're actually growing, I think, because of the online access to advertising them into letting people know they're there. So there's actually a huge element of that that still exists, which it drives me crazy, and I do what I can to help stop those. But from a therapeutic perspective, it's great for pain, for headaches, for muscle tension, for stress. You know, it absolutely plays into that whole mind-body thing. It's also great for mood and sleep. It helps release those feel-good hormones like oxytocin. So you know, they've done so many studies looking at things like rates of depression and also infant rates. And infants, preterm infants that get massage tend to thrive more than those who don't. You know, it's that good human touch. And there's actually so many things it's good for. And I know because I started out as a massage therapist, it's sort of that, you know, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. I claim massage can do an awful lot because it does. And if nothing else, it relaxes you. And as a way of getting in touch with your body. And I think so many people aren't in touch with their body, so I think it's a great way to get to know how you feel. I had a client a couple weeks ago, and I said, hey, do you know you have a rash here? Oh, I didn't know. He had no idea he had a rash on his body, and I saw that because I see him every week. I've found moles on clients that have ended up being cancerous that they were going to completely ignore until I bugged them. Please go see someone. This thing's starting to, like, have a life of its own. You need to get this checked. And it was a very aggressive melanoma. So, you know, your massage therapist, it's a relationship. It's someone who, hopefully, if they're good at what they're doing, is really looking out for your health. There are spas that do great work who just sort of do fluffy and relaxing. There's a place for that as well. And there are clinics like yours where you have a mix of practitioners who are hopefully as a conglomerate helping the clients. And that's what I love about it. You know, it's a personal relationship.
Right, right. It really is. And we do have we do several modalities, and our therapists have a variety of gifts and techniques. So, yes, we do, you know, based everyone that comes in is booked based on their needs, their particular, very specific needs. And to speak to the sexual connotation, it's funny. When my husband and I told his father that we wanted to buy a massage envy, he was all flustered. He had never heard of it before. And he's like, a massage parlor? You want to buy a massage parlor? And he just didn't get it. It took a while. He did a lot of research and finally realized that, you know, our standards are so high that we are so careful with our therapists are so careful to protect themselves and also to protect the patients. So, the clients, you talk about in your book, you talk about homeopathy, which I have used in the past. I think a lot of people don't understand homeopathy. Would you explain that?
Sure. So I think there's a lot of misconceptions about homeopathy, and I think people look at homeopathics the way they do Advil. So I think they say, I have a headache, and they go to their health food store, and they go to the homeopathic section, and they find this little vial that says, headaches. And they buy it, and they take a handful, and then they go, crap, I still have a headache. Well, this is a piece of, this doesn't work. You know, homeopathics are very subtle. They work on a very small cellular level, and I think that's the big problem that most people have with them is there's really no chemical contained left in them, and that is different concept for people than our Western medicine of take your Advil, take your Percocet, take your diabetes pill, whatever it is. We do a lot of chemical-based medicine in the West. This is different. And I don't want to say it works on an essence level. It kind of does. But I like to look at it in that medicine is formulated for based on 160-pound male. So if you're a 120-pound female, you would take a different dose. If you're a teenager, you take a different dose. If you're an infant, you take a smaller dose yet. This is working on a cellular level, so the dose is cellular, essentially. I've seen some phenomenal results from homeopathics. If you do it, quote, right, you go to a trained practitioner. He or she looks at all of your symptoms, and the weirder the better, which is actually kind of exciting because it leads you to a specific remedy. And then they give you one very specific remedy for your headache, your PMS, your leg pain, whatever it is. And so I think the way we've commercialized it, where you walk into your health food store or your drug store and there's a row of vials, each with one word on it, those tend to be combination remedies. Those aren't as effective. And unless you're really finding the one that works for your issue, it may or may not work. And I think that's one of the problems. So people have walked in, they've spent their $8 PMS, and it doesn't do anything. Or they need it for something really specific and they don't know how to find it. Because homeopathics is a very complicated system of medicine. It is governed by the FDA here in the United States. So anybody that's manufacturing homeopathics is looked at by the FDA. I have a friend who used to be the president of a homeopathic company. And that week the FDA was there was a nutcase. I mean, it was just insane because they wanted to see everything. So it is regulated. So people who say it's not, that's an incorrect statement. I think it's a great system of medicine when used properly, and I don't think it's used properly enough. So I think that's the biggest issue.
Right. So say you go in, like you say, go in for a headache, and you get the thing on the shelf that says headache. That's usually...
Yep.
A combined formula, basically,
yes.
That's geared
yep.
towards that. And would you get relief at all from that?
Depends. It depends on who you are.
Okay. It's not specifically geared towards who you are, is what you're saying.
Exactly. So what they do is they take the top four or five headache remedies, and there are some that just sort of across the board, they're known for that, and they stick them in that formula, assuming that they're going to work for most of the people. But for example, if you've got, you know, if five people walk into their regular Western practitioner with a headache, they're probably going to come out with five pretty much of the same drugs. If five people walk into a homeopathic with a headache, they're going to say, is it better? Is it on the right side or the left side? Is it above your left eye or your right eye? Is half your face red? Are you hot or are you cold? Is it better when you're sitting, lying, standing? Do you want cold water? Do you want to be outside? Do you want to be under the covers? Do you have light flashes? Do you have nausea? Do you have vomiting? Do you have diarrhea? Do you have, you know, they look at such specific things that leads them to one specific remedy that might be so bizarre it's not even contained in that combination. If you have a cold, what stage is the cold? Is your nose runny? Is it stuffed? Is it green? Is it yellow? Do you have a headache? Are you sneezing? Are you nauseous? Are you wheezing? Are you, you know, I think I made a poem.
You rhymed.
It was pretty good. How very Dr. Seuss of me. You know, it leads you to that very specific thing. There are some remedies that across the board tend to work. Nux vomica is great for hangovers and food poisoning. You know, so if you're hungover with food poisoning, fabulous, go take Nux vomica. Arnica is great for bruises and falling down. So anybody that's having surgery or has fallen down, it's great for kids who tend to, you know, take a spill off a skateboard or the bike. Having arnica in the house is one of my go-to remedies. It's great for bruising and muscle pain like that. They have topical arnica. They have oral arnica. You know, so there's a couple that are really sort of broad acting, and then there are a couple where you really just want to get specific.
Yeah, one of the most, I think, most commonly known homeopathic remedy is the Bach Rescue Remedy spray. I think a lot of people know about that. That's for stress,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's actually not a homeopathic. It's a flower essence, so it's slightly different.
Ah.
It's made very very similarly, but it's a completely different system.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we're going to talk about the chapter where you have a list of how to stay sick.
Yeah.
And then after this, we're going to talk about how to stay healthy. So let's talk a little bit about how one would stay sick.
Yeah, you know, it's basically about making really bad choices. So, you know, you want to eat the worst food you can find, and you don't want to laugh. I mean, because, come on, that's for idiots. And you don't want to look towards the future, because the future's scary, and it's probably going to be just as negative, if not more negative, than it was last time. And pooping, you don't want to do that. You want to hold that in as much as you can. And you want to just blindly listen to what everybody tells you to do. Don't relax. You're very, very busy. Relaxing is for suckers. Believe everything's hereditary, that you have no control over. Your aunt had the back pain, so you have the back pain, period, you're done. Be around the most negative people you can. That's good. And then try to fix everybody else. I mean, because frankly, they're broken and you're totally fine. So fixing everyone else's problems, that goes ties in with the reality TV. Don't worry about your stuff. Just go watch the Kardashians, see what they're doing today. And I think that's going to lead you to a really crappy life, and that's going to be great.
Wow. Okay. You know, and that is pretty obvious. Yet, many people follow that list. And
And it's a vast list. That was like maybe a quarter of the list. But,
yeah. No, it really is. We're talking about the list in Dr. Kathy Groover's book, Journey of Healing, One Woman's Path to Healing Self and Others. So if you get this book, you can find that chapter that says how to stay sick list, and it is extensive.
Yeah.
Okay, but more importantly, how to stay healthy, that list. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's funny. When I wrote my first book, I had included this list of how to stay sick, and I gave it to a girlfriend to read, and she said, God, I feel so down. Like, I'm really just so depressed after reading that list. You've got to put a good list in, which is where this whole thing came from. So the healthy list, relax, eat good food, drink plenty of water. Know that there's a different choice at every turn. So the future always has an opportunity to be different. Take risks. We talked about that at the beginning with the whole go for it thing. Laugh. Please laugh. Everybody laugh more. Eat slowly in a calm environment. Look for healing and don't just rely on a cure. To me, that's a big one. Western medicine often provides the cure. Healing comes from within. That's something that's in your hands. Eat real food. Avoid processed and packaged food. Have a good poop every day. Take a news fast, especially this time of year with all the politics going on. It can be pretty overwhelming. And love deeply. We often hold that back. We don't allow ourselves to love, and I think that's really important too. So, yeah, those are just some of those on the good list.
All good things, really all good things. And easy to follow. It's not hard to do those things.
Yep.
Okay, so let's move on and talk about artificial sweeteners, because so many people believe that the key to their healthy body and their weight loss is artificial sweeteners. So tell me how you feel about that.
Oh, I'm growling inside. They are so bad for us. They're so bad for us, and they're in so much stuff. And I have to say, when I left the Mountain Dew world, because, you know, that was so bad for me, and I was actually a member of the Church of Mountain Dew. That's how much Mountain Dew I drank. I thought, well, I'm going to be – no, I seriously was. I had a little certificate and everything. I was going to be healthier, so I gave up soda, and I went to iced tea. Great. I mean, I've got a 32-ounce of iced tea sitting in front of me right now. Very much more healthy. Very good for you. Black tea, good. Well, I like it sweet, but I don't like the taste of sugar. And in iced tea, sugar doesn't melt. It floats to the bottom. So the last inch is fabulous. It's like a giant snow globe. The rest of it, not so sweet. So I discovered the joy of sweet and low. And because of the way it was formulated and the way it was powdered, it melted. So I got this fabulous sweet drink, but I'd have to put 2 or 3 packets in. And I was having 2 or 3 iced teas a day. So I was going through 9 to 12 packets of sweet and low. And I had several people, and this was way back. Yeah, this is the norm. I don't know anybody that uses one packet of sweetener. And frankly, that's what was approved by the FDA as safe, one packet. I don't know anybody that uses one. When I see people put it in, they shake 2 or 3, they dump it in, and then they get refills. I mean, that's how this stuff works. Sweet and low, and then followed quickly by Equal, which I personally never liked. And then we now have Splenda, which is so insidious. It's in so many things. And these artificial sweeteners on... A lot of research is showing that it actually leads to weight gain, which is really depressing, because if you give up your regular soda and you move on to diet thinking that's going to help you with your weight, and then it actually makes you fatter, that's really that drives me crazy. There's a chemical in our brain called leptin that tells us when we're full, and there is evidence that shows this artificial sweetener suppresses that. So you never get that signal from your brain saying, okay, good, we're done, let's stop eating. It actually coerces you to eat more and more because that chemical shut down. Artificial sweetener has led to things like breathing issues and anxiety, headaches, nervousness, heart palpitations, cancer, tumors, vision problems. Now, because we're all biologically individual, some people have those things and some don't. Some people can have the artificial sweetener and be fine. I had one client end up in the emergency room because he thought he was having a heart attack, and they said, no, you're just having an anxiety attack. Well, he doesn't have anxiety attacks. He had just switched to Splenda because he thought it would be healthier because it's sucralose. He thought it was sugar, and he ended up in the ER from anxiety. And as soon as he stopped using the artificial sweetener, the anxiety went away, and he no longer showed up in the emergency room every weekend. So people respond to it differently. But it is a chemical in your body. It's a chemical. Your body doesn't know what to do with it. So you're going to have some form of reaction to it. And again, the FDA only approved one packet as being considered safe. So, you know, if you're having 10 or 12 a day like I used to, you really want to consider what that's doing to you. I'm not a fan. I don't think it should be on the market at all.
What do you think about stevia?
Oh, I love stevia. That's what's in my tea. As of what we know right now, there's no side effects. There's no problems with it. It's all natural. Who knows? In 10 years, they might go, oh, geez, we see it's causing elephants to turn pink and fall over. We don't, who knows what the studies are going to show. I hope that doesn't happen. That'd be awful. But for right now, we know it's safe. It's a great alternative. And that's what I recommend to my clients and patients. It can have a bitter taste to it. It can have a bitter aftertaste. Someone told me, mm-hmm. I don't like the aftertaste. And then I watched them open up their packet of Equal. And I said, oh, my God, you think that doesn't have an aftertaste? But you're
right.
Used to it now. You know, when we first used the artificial sweetener, it was probably like, woo, oh, yeah. You know, it has a taste. It's a chemical. It has a taste to it. So try a couple different brands. It took me 4 or 5 brands before I found the liquid stevia that works for me.
Okay.
Coffee drinkers, people don't seem to like the stevia. I'm not a coffee person, so I don't know. But try different options. You know, again, there's different options out there for you.
Okay, so different stevia, different forms of stevia may taste a little bit different. Okay.
Exactly. And there's powdered, and there's Truvia, which is sort of the mainstream brand of it now. So now we got a green packet. So we got the yellow, the pink, the blue, the green. We're running out of colors very quickly. I don't know what purple is going to be.
That's funny. Okay. So let's move on to high fructose corn syrup, which we're hearing a lot about. So you think about corn syrup, you think, okay, you know, they're making syrup from corn. How bad can it be? What is wrong with high fructose corn syrup?
Oh, it is so bad. If they just squoze, is that a word, squoze? If they just squeeze the corn, if they just squoze the corn and got juice, cool. Great, because corn is sweet. It's a starch. It goes straight to sugar in our body. That's not what they do. It's a highly chemical process. And in that chemical process, it is converting things into sugars that shouldn't be. A lot of them contain mercury. High fructose corn syrup, people have admitted it contains mercury through the processing, and you don't know which does and which doesn't. It's an indicator of a really highly processed and cheaply made food, and it is also linked to the rate of obesity and type 2 diabetes because it kind of tricks out our liver. Fructose is not natural fructose like from fruit, but this chemical formula of fructose is really messing with parts of our body. And people, again, are having reactions to it. And the corn they use is GMO, so that gets us into a whole other realm of things that make me growl. But it's an indicator of a cheap food. It's one of the most highly subsidized foods, and it's one of the most highly GMO foods, and I'm very against genetically modifying our food, depending on the reason. But for this reason, it is. It's highly sprayed with pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and it's a really nasty thing for us. And I'm noticing a lot of companies, you know, because there were so many states trying to outlaw GMOs, which then would affect the high fructose corn syrup industry, we saw a lot of companies turning away from high fructose corn syrup. And I was really excited to see a commercial, I think this was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, for Welch's, saying that they went back to using just regular sugar in their juice as opposed to the high fructose corn syrup. And I actually wrote to them I wrote to the corporation and I said, thank you. Thank you for paying attention to what the consumer wants. Because every time we swipe a barcode, we're casting our vote. And we're letting the government and the companies know what we want. And so I'm seeing companies who are forward-thinking, and it's a profit thing for them. They realize that if people are afraid of or don't want high fructose corn syrup, they're going to go to their company as opposed to company B, who still uses the chemical. So companies are not stupid. They're going to follow along to eventually what we want, and I think high fructose corn syrup is on its way out. Well, I hope.
Okay. Is there a difference between high fructose corn syrup and just corn syrup?
You know, that's a really good question. I think it's made similarly. I think the high fructose corn syrup is worse because I know, you know, grandma would have corn syrup in her fridge, or not fridge, but, you know, in the pantry to do stuff with. I think
right.
It's just made differently, and I honestly don't know the answer to is it just as bad. You're not going to find high fructose corn syrup in a grocery store, and
okay.
There was one documentary about it that actually tried to make high fructose corn syrup, and it was this, like, you know, they were in these, like, hazmat suits trying to figure out how to make this stuff. It's really, it's not something you're going to mix up in your kitchen. You know, it's a chemical. It's a chemical.
Okay. So we're about 30 minutes into the hour, I mean, into the show, because we don't have an hour, but there's got to be something that you think is important to share that maybe I haven't asked you about.
You know, to me, you know, and you're covering so much great stuff because you're giving a great overview of what's in the book. You know, going along with the stress thing, this has been a really stressful year for a lot of people. 2016 was really hard. I just actually came back from New Orleans where I was doing a fundraiser to help some of the flood victims. And hearing people who lost everything, like they came back to their house and there was 7 feet of water in it and everything was destroyed. And here in California, we had horrible fires. We had the most tumultuous election ever. And no matter what side of that you're on, you have to acknowledge it was stressful and there was a lot of hate and a lot of spewing of negativity. And it's been a rough year. But I think we're moving out of that. And I think what we focus on grows. So in moving through 2016, I encourage people to really focus on the positive stuff in their life. To even if you can't change those external things, you can change where you put your focus, where you put your view, and what you think about. So I encourage people to do that. And whether it's doing daily affirmations of, I am happy and abundant, I am prosperous and well, I'm surrounded by supportive and loving friends, I have a phenomenal job with great coworkers, you know, some people believe that can change your external circumstances, like if you have read The Secret or What the Bleep Do We Know or Think and Grow Rich. But if nothing else, it changes your mindset. And that's all we have control over. So you might as well go into these situations feeling good and positive as opposed to focusing on the negativity. And that leads to our stress, focusing on the negativity. And that's, you know, a killer in our society. It's everywhere. So do the best you can to focus on that positive stuff. And then let me know how I can help. I mean, I do a lot of stress talks and I have, you know, 2 books on stress and I'm working on another book on stress right now. So yeah, let me know how I can help. Should I throw out my website right now if anybody wants me?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah. So I've got 2, thealternative.com is sort of my general site. You can sign up for my newsletter there. There's tons of free resources, links to past interviews, so I'll put this up there as well. And there's also kathygroover.com, which is mainly my speaking site. So if you have a company, a corporation, a retreat, a women's event, whatever, that I can come and teach you more in depth, I'd be happy to do that. So those are the best ways to find me.
Okay, I actually have up on your show page, I have a link to the alternativemedicinecabinet.com. So for those who are
Perfect.
Listening and want to learn more, just go to the show page and click right on it, and you'll go directly there. And your books are available through Amazon and the traditional. Are you in stores or basically online?
I am through my website. I'm through Amazon. I'm through BarnesandNoble.com. And Conquer Your Stress, which is the book I did before Journey of Healing, was picked up by a traditional publisher and is now available nationwide and in India, strangely.
Awesome.
In India.
Good for you.
And we're thank you. Yeah, we're hoping to just redo Journey of Healing. They're reading it right now to see if they want to put that out to a larger audience. So I'm hoping that's a go. So fingers crossed on that one.
Oh, boy, yeah. I know. I'm in the process of getting a book published, and I get it. I know.
It's a journey all its own.
It truly is. I've self-published. Now I'm trying to do traditional. Okay, so there's, I think, let me see. I think it's page 94 of your book. Yes, okay. You put together a list of some of the phrases in our society that have body-mind connections we, you know, it's like pain in the neck, pain in the butt, you know, moving forward, those kind of things. And I just think this is great. Do you have it in front of you? Because I'd love for you to name some of these things. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I discovered this by doing massage and realizing that people said these phrases. You know, they would show up with carpal tunnel and they'd say they got their hands full or they feel like they can't get a grip. The guy with the ulcer, you know, what was eating at him? He couldn't stomach this. You know, so I sat down and you know, Louise Hay sort of did this decades ago, her little blue book of these correspondence between mind and body, but I kind of did it differently. Let's just talk about our heart. We've got a heart-to-heart talk. Our heart is set on something. We have heartache, heartbreak. It's heartfelt. My heart is open. My heart is breaking. That's interesting that these are the phrases we pick. Someone's mouthing off. You get that lump in your throat. My heart is heavy. Now I can breathe easy. It's that feeling of relief. Open mind. I have you in the palm of my hand. Feeling stabbed in the back. Are you having pain between your shoulder blades? Did someone just do something that you felt was against you in some way? Weight of the world on my shoulders, slipped out of my grasp, put your best foot forward, put my foot in my mouth, point the finger at somebody. You know, I sat down and really started going through the body parts, and it came up with like 60-something correspondences. I had no idea until I really sat down and went, wow, people who say there's no mind-body connection, these are the phrases we pick, you know, to describe things. We use our anatomy to describe what's happening in our emotions, which I found fascinating. So, yeah, I love that list. Thanks for pointing that out.
And you say, I also encourage people to avoid saying that something is killing them.
Yeah.
We don't want to use that word, right?
Well, but why would you – I mean, I think our body – it's like the GPS on the car. If you type something in, it's going to take you there. And so to me, the body is the same way. And if you keep saying something like that, you know, I had a client who came to me for neck pain, and she kept saying, you know, my stupid neck and my dumb neck and my neck's killing me. And all she focused on was how bad her neck was. If you do that to a dog, if you do that to...
Kathy, we lost you for a second. Repeat that. You're breaking up. You're still breaking up. We can't hear you. We can't hear you. We're losing you. You might want to hang up and call back in, and I will. I'll get you when you do
that.
Okay,
I'll do that.
Oh, wait, you're back. Okay, so Kathy's going to call back in. Oh my goodness, is it a full moon or something? Or is it Mercury in retrograde? Or what's going on here? We're having communication issues. We only really have a few minutes left, but I want Kathy to be able to finish talking about what she's talking about, because she's got so much knowledge that can benefit all of us, and there's a couple more things I want to ask her and get clarity on for you guys. So hopefully she'll be able to call back in. Let's see what happens. She talked. This book is really very comprehensive. It is, you know, I skipped around a lot and talked about, you know, all the kind of things that, several things. She even talks about chakras and mindfulness and death and so many different things. So she's probably not going to be able to call back in. And that's a pity. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have her come back on, so because I'm sure we can have some great discussions. So let me do that. I will have her come back on, and you know, we'll get to find out the things that she wants to talk about. I really feel bad that I guess got cut off. But so yeah. Anyway, I want to wish you all a very happy holiday, a very Merry Christmas, a very happy Hanukkah, and a happy and safe New Year. We'll probably have, will we have another show? Let me see when my next show is. We're definitely going to have, we're going to have shows. Okay. We've got a couple more shows before the New Year, so I'll wish you a happy New Year then. Anyway, may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.